Craig Hewlett this hour. We'll take your phone calls. You've heard what we've been talking about. And then next hour, a lawyer presents evidence for the afterlife. I'm looking forward to that, too. And welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us, of course, and your phone calls this hour, which will go by very darn fast. Craig, what are you working on these days?
I've just produced six PDF files of over 100 pages each for my client base. So
huge. You
know, there's so much going on that I'm actually putting in longer hours now than I did when I was 40 doing lecture tours. Before we go one step further, just in case, you know, your audience still wants to believe in the mainstream media and Hollywood, if you want to believe in the culture of America as you think it is today, let me ask your audience if you knew this just took place, was just declassified through the Freedom of Information Act. They couldn't stop it. They got out. Almost nobody has seen it at this point. But the White House Chief of Staff, Josh Bolton, 9/11.
Yeah.
He confirmed in a handwritten note to the President of the United States, called him personally, and it's all written down in his handwritten notes. It was top secret until just recently. On page 4 of his notes sent to the President, it states that the Vice President had already authorized the shoot down of 93. Now, in the interim, after 9/11, if you recall, Hollywood made a movie showing that Flight 93 was taken down by heroic passengers.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that, you know what? They may have been involved doing that while it was being
shot down.
Yeah.
They may have. But what a sad commentary on the American people that to this day, the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, who is out there right now peddling more involvement in further wars against ISIS in Syria. You know, he's out stumping like he's out running for president. That this man is a public figure listened to on Fox television, CNN. People, you know, on the far right worship the guy still. And amazing to me that we here we have in our hand proof that he ordered that plane shot down in Flight 93, shot down by an F-16 with a missile. And to this day, the American people still believe any myth that comes out of this man's mouth. I do believe that Dick Cheney is one of the most evil men I have ever witnessed on the political scene in all my current work, my past work, but also my historical studies. I don't think there's a man that exists that quite matches Dick Cheney.
How close would Rumsfeld be?
His toady? Rumsfeld is his toady. But, you know, I understand what they are. Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, I get it. Liddy, I get what these guys are. But Dick Cheney has got to go down in history as the most audacious, evil man who still is out there shooting his mouth off when he knows full well what he's been complicit in. He knows damn full well that the Saudis were involved in 9/11. He knows it. So that's all I can say. If that makes me unpatriotic, I have no clue what you mean by patriot.
Well, yeah, and I've got to tell you, Craig, I mean, these suspicions that you talk about at this point, you know, you and I have talked about this for years. I mean, this guy was instrumental in so many things. He had that trilogy worked out of Iraq, Iran, Syria. He wanted all three.
Yes, he was the one that General Wesley Clark basically was talking about when they said to Wesley Clark, do you realize that they put it on the table to take out seven nations in a response to 9/11, seven nations, which are the very nations, coincidentally, that we're attacking right now. We're talking about that was Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld's decision. If you actually think George Bush Jr. was in charge,
no,
you're just
no
a silly
way.
Person.
What was that? The movie where Richard Dreyfuss played Dick Cheney in the Bush movie, and they asked Cheney, and I think this is an accurate quote. when he was in the meeting with Powell and Condoleezza Rice and all these people, and they're looking at the map of Iraq and Iran and all this, and they said, well, what's our exit strategy? And he said, Dreyfus said, there is none. We intend to stay.
Exactly. And that is a quote. They bothered to put it in the movie.
Let's go west of the Rockies to get things started. Tom is in Seattle. Tom, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing, Tom.
I appreciate taking my call. I really do. And I want to convey my condolences for the loss of your sister as well as your father.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. And I have a couple of questions. My first question is, Ebola, is it transmitted by a virus or what?
Well, it's transmitted through fluids. But yes, it is a virus.
It is. It's not a live organism. It's a virus that somehow works its way into a healthy cell. It takes over the cell as a host. The cell is its host, and it takes over. And then they begin to replicate, and then there's more and more, and then you're cooked. I'm amazed at how it's not even an organism, Craig, because it's not alive. So
right, that's the scary part. It can still be transmitted even if the host is dead.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
So, yeah, but by the way, I'm not gonna let Obama off the hook. When he took office in 2008, the CDC warned him. We have the memorandum in hand. And specifically said Ebola plus many other viruses and diseases, infectious diseases, were a real threat to our national security. And he needed to open at least 18 CDC centers outside of the United States. They named Liberia, Sierra Leone as those places. He did not open any of those locations whatsoever. In fact, the only ones he did open were in already Western-controlled regions like South Africa and Nigeria, where we have a large, Niger, where we have interests in natural resources.
Is this situation with Ebola going to have an effect on the 2016 presidential election?
Probably not, because the American people will be so preoccupied with the theater of Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. It's going to be a circus, and it's going to be great theater. In fact, I think that Richard Dreyfuss should produce it.
It's going to be great theater.
It's going to be great theater.
Next up, we go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana, on the wild card line. Cornelius, I'm not going to call you corny tonight.
All right, George. Hey, Craig. How you doing tonight?
Doing well.
This guy here always gets to me just like Tommy. There's something. But, Craig, that was Fort Campbell, Kentucky, by the way, 101st Airborne.
Right.
I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, so I know a little bit about it. But I see where they're going to use the National Guard, too, and I just would think, Craig, what do you think about using the Guard to fight Ebola? Because we're not used to that. I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, the presidential memorandum, the executive order, actually gives Homeland Security and the Pentagon the right to choose what units they activate, whether they're reserve units or active units, and to what capacity. So I think it's interesting that the White House pulled himself out of any specifics in it. But there's a reason, I think, why they chose the National Guard and the reserves is because our active duty military is a little stretched, since most of our troops are serving their 7th, 8th, 9th tour in combat areas.
We've got Joe east of the Rockies in Evansville, Indiana now. Joseph, you're up with us. Go ahead. Hey, Joe. Going once. Going twice. That's because I probably... No, there is no Joe. Okay. We'll go next, though, to Keith in Rochester, New York, then. Keith, go ahead.
I have a twofold question about Ebola and the world's response to it. I first want to quickly quote two people. Attorney General Eric Holder said Americans are cowards because we won't discuss race honestly. And today, former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says he's bitterly disappointed in the world's response to helping West Africa. My two questions: how can people, especially white people, ask questions that touch on Ebola, but also encountering black people because of West Africa without being labeled racist right off the bat. How can we talk to each other if we can't ask honest questions without being hit with those labels? And secondly, where is the rest of the world? Where is so-called enlightened Scandinavia? Where are the riches from Asia and the Arabs? Why always the United States? Why not true help pouring in, not just the United States, as always, doing the big heavy lift?
Well, actually, America is not doing the big heavy lift, and I think that's what the complaint is America is doing a very tiny, weak lift, and we should be actually, look, we're spending $80 billion a year to fight wars and kill people in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. We've slaughtered thousands of innocent civilians in the drone wars. We spend trillions of dollars making war all over the world, but something like Ebola fever, which I think is more of a general threat to humanity and the human race here in America, it's not a national security threat. It's no threat to the government, the Pentagon, the CIA. It's not a threat to our airline system. It's a threat to you and I. And that's why they're not spending any money on it. And that's the same with every country. No country acts differently than ours. We're not an exception. No country has any interest in saving anything but its own, but it has very little interest in their own population.
You know, when they had the two people, two Americans who came into the country, they had gotten Ebola in West Africa, and they apparently have been cured. They're using one of them, they're using his blood as a serum for some people to see if that'll work, an antidote. But I had said, don't even let them in. Was that right?
Well, I think the response immediately should have been that. They should have shut everything down immediately as quickly as possible. But again, you know, I'm talking and you're talking from the interest of the American people who elected the government of the United States. But I don't believe that we elected the government of the United States. We may have cast votes, but these people were chosen to run for the positions by the corporate system. And they don't represent us. So I don't expect anything from them unless the threat actually comes to, for instance, Washington State, there would be an effort to protect the citizens if it was a threat to Boeing or Microsoft. Now repeat that to every major corporation in every major state.
So true.
If it's not a threat to corporate America, they don't care. And the minions inside the Beltway work for them. They don't work for you.
Next up, we go to our wild card, Jeff in Oahu in Hawaii. Jeffrey, take it away.
Hey, George. We're missing you over here.
So,
listen, I've got a couple of statements. First of all, it just blows me away. This Ebola virus was invented in 1941. It has a patent.
No, it doesn't.
Don't you think? Yes, and don't you think would have
hold on, Craig. Hold on.
Built to kill people. Don't you think we would have a? And then why is it in Africa? And I was 10 years in the Navy and 4 years in the Army. So what I'm trying to say is I want to dispute what your friend's telling me, that our country would not blow these things up. But it's awful scary. And I read a thing tonight, and it said that they're sending troops to Africa. Now, why would you alert the National Guard, who has no training? They've got to take them off their jobs and send them there. When you have the Marines and the Army training to go over there, and that's why they're not there yet, because they're training.
Well, so but you're right, Jeff. That's what we're saying, that these troops should not be sent there at all. Craig, did you want to jump in here?
Well, the troops are being sent there to build facilities. The troops aren't being sent there to empty bedpans.
No,
they're
no.
They're being sent there to build hospital facilities, emergency facilities, but primarily for healthcare workers. They're not there to treat the people that have Ebola. They're being sent there to build facilities for other people from other places, other countries that are coming in as medical staff to treat them. And if they get sick, they're building emergency facilities to treat them. They're not sending Army reservists that are infantrymen to empty bedpans. That's not what's going on.
Craig, if this thing goes airborne, look out.
Now, let me clear something up. There is no patent for Ebola fever. There is no patent for the blood of the Ebola fever victims. There is a patent applied for by the head of the Center for Disease Control. It's in his own name and his colleague's name, and that patent applies to the vaccine that they will successfully create. There is no patent. This Ebola fever was not created. That's nonsense, and I've already written a paper on it. If you want a copy of it, email. I'll send it to you free. I've rebutted all of those conspiracy theories. They're untrue.
Wild card Rod in Sacramento is with us now. Go ahead, Rod.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you.
You too.
My condolences on your father.
Thank
and
you.
Your sister. We just laid my father-in-law to rest Friday.
Yeah, the last couple of years have been double whammies for us. That's for sure. But that's okay. Go
93.
Ahead.
93. And
that's a good run.
He was an old fighter pilot out of Iwo Jima escorting B-29s and a retired colonel out of Strategic Air Command missiles. His father was Major General Robert Alexis McClure. Your guest may know that name.
I don't.
Who was he?
He's the head of site. He was the father of U.S. psychological warfare from World War II.
Ah.
And he served on Eisenhower's staff. Isn't it amazing how psychologically warfare is being used against us citizens?
Because now it's legal. It, in fact, is one of the most staggering things I'm faced with every day when I read the mainstream press. I've never seen propaganda like this on American soil. I've seen a little bit here and there, like 9/11 I knew was false when Bush Jr. said that it was Al-Qaeda. I knew he was lying. I went public that very night and said so. Lost a lot of talk show hosts over it. But the lies being told about ISIS, about Ebola, about our response, Dick Cheney, 9/11, it's staggering because, again, I'll repeat, they can legally now direct government propaganda against the American people in the government's self-interest. It's now legal for the first time since the National Defense Security Act.
It's ugly, Craig, isn't it?
It's the vilest thing I think we're seeing, and most people aren't aware of it. Not only do they not know it, they don't realize what we're talking about. We're talking about Goebbels-style propaganda that we used to use against Russia, China, Vietnam.
It's like a huge PR campaign. Craig, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Geez, all this world events. It truly is beyond belief, which happens to be the name of our television program, which I hope you will watch and enjoy. Just go to this website, beyondbelief.com. Craig Hewlett with us. Craig, I do have to tell you, overwhelmingly getting emails in support of you, saying things like, it's about time somebody on the media tells the truth. He's got guts. Overwhelmingly.
I appreciate that. I'm not sure there's much guts attached to it, but I appreciate it. I think you probably should be taking more of the credit than myself. You're the one that holds the microphone and makes the decision whether men like me are allowed to speak.
Let's go to Wild Card Line, Jesse in Louisiana now. Jesse, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm just called about the Ebola app. I'm hearing about it breaking out in Germany. Is that right?
No, so far as I know, it hasn't broken out in Germany, no.
I'll check, but I haven't heard that either. But what did you hear on that?
I heard that they have had a couple of maybe a nurse had got the Ebola, and I heard that one, I think it was from Spain, if I'm correct, that one of the nurses that took care of patient zero was infected with Ebola.
Yeah, the one in Spain did occur. That one is true. I hadn't heard about the one in Germany, but you could be on the leading edge. It's going to, show up everywhere.
Craig, this is what we have. A UN medical worker infected with Ebola died in a hospital in Germany.
Okay.
So they sent the person to Germany and he died, but Germany did not come down and get it.
But in the end, you know, the problem is it's going to start cropping up all over the world.
Of course.
And I think America isn't taking it seriously enough. And let me counter something somebody said recently, a caller just recently. I think America needs to be and carry the brunt of resolving it. I think that's what America stands for a hell of a lot more than the war-making and the war-mongering that our government has been doing for the past 15 years.
And we got to contain it. We got to stop the flights, and we got to hope that these West African nations get this under control with or without our help and get this down to a level that it's minimal.
Yeah, they're real people, too.
They sure are. I'm wondering, Craig, if Ebola has, you know, I would hear reports of somebody got Ebola in West Africa. You know, one or two cases, then the story would go away. I'm wondering if Ebola has been eradicated to the point where it was gone and then it pops back up again, or are people always coming down with it out there?
No, they weren't always coming down with it. It was discovered first by a Belgian doctor in 1974, but they didn't know what it was until 1979, he said, because they didn't have a microscope capable of seeing it. So they didn't actually know what it was. They thought it was hemorrhagic fever. But it has popped up occasionally, all by itself, for no reason that anybody can explain, over all the decades since then. But like I said, the CDC gave Obama a warning and Bush before him. They gave him warnings and said we needed CDC centers to monitor the outbreak of specifically Ebola and then a list of other diseases. That memorandum is now in our hands. Those of us that do this for a living have a copy of it, and they were warned. Now, why the Bush administration and then following the Obama administration all the way to date did absolutely nothing. In fact, the countries where it's broken out still don't have a CDC center.
Let's go to Derek on the wild card line in St. Louis. Hello, Derek. Go ahead.
Hey, George, Craig, you guys had brought up the election process. And back in 2011, Barack Obama wasn't actually doing that great in the polls. But and Craig, I know you don't like Fox News, but I was watching Fox News, and they had I think he was a general on there. But they just asked him, who do you think is going to win the election? And he came out and said a statement that just stuck in my head. He said, Barack Obama will win re-election. And then he said, Jeb Bush will become the next president after him. And that was before Jeb Bush was ever in the conversation. And he didn't say that was his opinion. He said, this will happen. I agree with you. I don't think we have which just makes us think we have the power of picking it, but they're already chosen.
That's correct. Well, you're talking to a talk show host that Craig Hewlett's been a pest about. I've been saying Jeb Bush will be the next president while George Bush Jr. was in the White House. I've never not known that Jeb Bush was targeted to be in the White House.
And I've got to tell you, Craig, my prophecy experts who come on the show have predicted a Hillary-Jeb Bush runoff.
And there's a simple analysis to it. It isn't that complex. The two-party system is, by its nature, a corruption. It's a corruptible system guaranteed to corrupt democracy. To have a democracy based on a free republic, based on democratic principles, you must have multiple parties. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 parties. You must. If you have only two parties, then you could continually manipulate the continuity of government. You could get to the American people and say, are you sick of Obama? Then they'll give us Bush. Are you sick of Bush? They'll give you Obama. But that's been decided a decade in advance. Who the parties are going to nominate. You're not electing anybody. You're electing who you're told to vote for. And in the end, you get two choices.
You know what's amazing? A couple months ago when this was starting to fester, the Ebola, and people were saying, it'll never come here. I kept saying, yes, it will. Yes, it will. It's going to leak in. And it's going to grow. You know, a lot of people, though, and I've said this before, Craig, the normal flu, the so-called flu, kills 36,000 Americans every year. 36,000. Right. If you would simply say to me tonight, George, 36,000 Americans just died of Ebola this year, we would think the world was ending.
Exactly. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that the Americans live in such a luxury that we can fear things that will probably never happen and believe things that are utterly untrue?
Wildcard line, let us go next to Mark in Canada. Hey, Mark, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. I was curious what you guys thought of the whole God thing with what's going on in the world right now. Like, maybe God is outraged by the world, and that's why this is happening. And the Ebola is an extreme state of humanity because for how many thousand years we have based our whole society on conflict.
Well, since you asked, my opinion, I don't think God does things like that. Craig, your turn.
I think God's indifferent to what's taking place on the planet. I think if he wasn't indifferent, then he would be a tyrant.
We've got Bob in Cape Coral, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey, Bob, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I want to thank you for your steadfastness in the show, because you do give millions of us light and hope.
Always.
My brother, I just got him through two bouts of lung. He almost died, two seizures from these, buildup of fluid from smoking.
Yeah.
He was smoking 5 months ago, and he's alive and well, and I'm using turmeric. I'm using all kinds of natural things. And
super.
So
good
well.
For you.
What I wanted to say to you, sir, is first of all, thank you, because it's very frightening for a lot of us in this country. Not only have we grew up protected, and we feel like everything's falling down around us, which is probably true. The UK and Paris, France, and a lot of 30 or so countries have stopped flights, direct flights from these severely hit parts of Africa. Why are we waiting? And is it because Obama really is inept and he doesn't understand, or is he surrounded by ideologues? And will the real scientists get through him?
Well,
that's,
you know, he's not inept. The guy is—he's a genius. He's very smart, but he's like a college professor, isn't he, Craig?
We haven't had a president that actually is the president in a good way since John Kennedy. We haven't had a president who actually is the president in a bad way since George Bush Sr. Every president since and in between those two presidents have been merely puppets. They're not the ones that decide. You know, when George Bush Jr. said, "I'm the decider," I mean, seriously, that's how silly the presidency is. He probably implicated all the presidents through all time. The president isn't who you think he is. It's the people behind him.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about just the ones that are visible. Usually the most important people in the government that run this government of the United States inside the Beltway are not the Secretary of State or the National Security Advisor, but the number two person. In other words, Condoleezza Rice was National Security Advisor to the president. But actually, she wasn't the National Security Advisor. She was the mouthpiece that was to take the heat for Richard Armitage, who was the number two at National Security. Richard Armitage was actually the National Security Advisor, but he doesn't take heat. He's golden, and he's a green suit. He's untouchable. That's who's running the country, not Obama.
West of the Rockies, Simi in North Carolina. You can't be west of the Rockies. You have to be east, but there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm calling actually about a couple of things now. The original reason I called was when you brought up about the sock puppets made by Intrepid Corporation, a government contractor. The reporter who first came out with that information, Barrett Brown, he's been detained in prison for over a year in Texas. I don't know if you're aware of that. That he's an author and a reporter. He started an investigation into the government contractors that were doing things against the public. And the project he started, it was called Project PM. And you can find it. There's a wiki on the internet. If you just do a search for Project PM Barrett Brown, it will come up. And more information about him, there's
a
website called
Free
Barrett Brown.
Ed Ross Story.
So that was the first thing I wanted to bring up. The second is, you just talked about Richard Armitage. Now, he has started, he has a think tank. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's called Center for New American New American Securities. And it's all these tech companies, and he's on the board of directors of ManTech. And also Endgame is also on the board of directors of this of CNAS. Do you know about this?
I'm aware of all of Armitage's connections. His most important one is Armitage Associates. He represents most of the largest corporations that do business in everything from Azerbaijan. In fact, he was on the Azerbaijan Chamber of Commerce when they negotiated the Silk Road strategy for the entire Middle East. So, yeah, Armitage has been around actually all the way since Vietnam with cocaine trafficking when he was in the military. So Armitage has got a long history. But we used to call those guys green suits. They're the guys that when they go to the Pentagon, they're untouchable. When they show up at CIA, they have open access, and nobody can touch him.
It's going to be interesting, Craig, to see all of this unfold on this planet. I have never seen a time period where everything just seems to be so topsy-turvy.
Well, the sources for a lot of this are not appearing in the American press. And I can't stress that enough. You know, I don't hate Fox News. I just feel a whole lot better when it's not on the TV. But, you know, you've got to start looking at what remains of the last vestiges of real reporting, real reporters, and that's the London Guardian, the Independent, magazines like Der Spiegel. You've got to look at outfits that are purely investigative journalists, like Raw Story. You've got to pay attention to Greenwald. He's not kidding around. This guy is relentless in his ability to now get access to documents. He's unbelievable. He's incredible. And that's why they're under attack. Naomi Wolf, I'm not all that crazy about, but at the same time, she's willing to breach a subject and say, wait a minute, that beheading didn't look right to me.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. To me, it was just too staged. It was weird.
Yeah, and the knife was wrong. In the one of them that
and you know knives.
The knife, it's the wrong knife. I mean, I know enough about edged weapons that it's not the one you would use. It's just, but when you report these things now, they're not going to be in the American press. You're an American listening. If you're an American listening, you need to stop paying attention to the mainstream American sources and start looking, peel back the onion and try to find two sources to verify what you believe is to be true. Very often, like the patent that Ebola fever was created in 1944, was patented, it's completely untrue. And you can find out that it's untrue if you do a little research. But you've got to be relentless now in America. We've lost the free press. It was one of the first things that had to go.
It did go. It did go bigly, big time. When the internet really popped, it killed the newspapers.
And the six largest corporations now dominate everything you see and hear. Six major multinational corporations with cross-border directorships with oil companies, pharmaceuticals, defense contractors. Their interest lies with the interests of the nation state called corporatism. It is not in their interest to go against Washington and the corporate structure and report to you, the American citizen, the truth about anything. And by the way, they have no obligation to report the truth.
Next up, Brian in Buffalo. We'll take one or two more calls. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hi, guys. This is a very multifaceted discussion, and I want to hit on a couple real quick points.
Sure.
One of them is that when you marry war, pestilence, and plague together, what's the other? What's the fourth head of the horseman there? Look back to the Spanish flu of 1918, and what are we going to do? We're going to throw our boys over there, and then we're going to quarantine them and bring them back. That just makes no sense whatsoever. What are they going to do? Okay, so they're going to build some huts, and we're going to keep them out of harm's way. And then the next thing is, what is ISIS going to do? Are they going to stop the beheadings? Because I would think that they would, if they have any kind of self-preservation, they would maybe put hazmat suits on. I'm not trying to be flip here.
No, I know. And by the way, you're four apocalypse horsemen. Conquest, war, famine, and death.
There you go.
There they are.
Okay. So, but the point is that, you know, the world's got a lot smaller. And what we have to do is, I you know, Megyn Kelly, who I disagree with on occasion, did ask Feynman, the head of the CDC, she asked him the question, and he just couldn't answer, which was, well, why can't we just do charter flights? You know, forget the commercial stuff. If people have a reason to come in and out of Africa, why don't we just shut down everything else and we could treat it there? And clearly, it's kind of like George Bush saying, we're going to fight it there so we don't, you know, they can't follow us here.
No, but they're telling us now real... that ISIS is going to be in Milwaukee next week.
It will be.
No, they won't. ISIS is nothing like what you're hearing it is. ISIS is a false threat. It's a threat to keep you and I accepting perpetual war for perpetual peace for the next three generations. When in fact, I could take a battalion of Texas Rangers to Syria, and if I was authorized to go after them, we could kick ISIS's butt. It's just ridiculous that this group wearing all black sweatpants and baklavas
and tennis shoes
in the desert and Toyota trucks can't be defeated.
And white tennis shoes.
And white tennis shoes, which is perfect for Americans to witness, look at, and be scared of.
Greg,
all black.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for being on the program. Stay healthy, all right?
Always.
Greg Hewlett, book, one of them. Hydra of Carnage, the other one, Global Triage, his website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. When I come back, husband and wife team, we're going, I believe, down under to Australia. A lawyer presents the evidence for the afterlife. That'll be next on Coast to Coast AM.